Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 13th of December, 2021. It's nice to have you with us today or whenever you're listening. We know a lot of people listen on the archives. That's the nature of podcasting. Feel free to do that. We archive everything over at ace-ed.org under that podcast icon, ace-ed.org. That's A-C-E-E-D. .org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We include social emotional learning in that. So we have our SELtoday.org website, which is new and exciting and fun, and that's linked from they're back and forth at ace-ed.org. And our magazine, our brand new issue is over there. It's absolutely excellent. It's called the Equity and Access Pre-K-12, and you'll really enjoy it. I hope you take a few minutes, perhaps longer, to flip through it and enjoy what we do over there, because it's all about equity. It's all about education. It's all about teaching these days, which is harder and harder to do, educating these kids in these strange environments we're in. And just to put this one into time perspective, on I think Saturday morning, we woke up to those terrible tornadoes in Kentucky and Tennessee and Arkansas, and I hope everybody is on the road to recovery is the best we can do down there. Okay, it's tough. It's tough for schools, tough for kids, tough for the whole community. So I hope they get better soon is the best I can say about that. We got a nice show today. We've got Ryan Graham here. Ryan is the chief technology officer over at our good friends at TextHelp at texthelp.com. Ryan, are you there?
I'm here, Larry.
Hi, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you today with that wonderful accent?
I am based in not very sunny Ireland. So we're across the sea. So that's where TextHelp's headquartered there in Northern Ireland, just at the very top of Ireland.
Are you in Belfast? Belfast?
We're very close to Belfast, Larry. Yeah, good geography. Excellent. Yeah, just not too far away outside Belfast.
Good. And the weather's cloudy and crummy today?
It's always cloudy and crummy, Larry. That's why we never talk about the weather here, because it's always the same. I would like to echo your sentiments there as well, obviously, for the people in Kentucky. You know, we've got people who work over there as well. I just want to make sure everybody is, you know, as safe as well as they can.
It was a bad weekend down there, and I've seen the pictures today in the papers and on the news. And, boy, it's devastating. I mean, obviously, it's devastating, but it's really devastating to look at it and see what these poor people are going to have to go through. It's just rebuilding, and it's all small towns, which almost makes it tougher because a lot of them don't have the great resources that they need to make it happen.
Exactly.
So it's really rough, but hopefully they'll get through and we'll all help them and all that sort of stuff. You know, I'll talk about this. Chief Technology Officer at TextHelp. Tell everybody what TextHelp does, all right? And the way I always see TextHelp, it's pretty much all technology, which makes you the grand kahuna, okay, of everything TextHelp does, okay? So just to put TextHelp into context and technology within TextHelp. Go ahead, Ryan.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. So what TextHelp does is we build assistive technology software that helps students to basically achieve their full potential all around the world. We develop software that helps them to read and write, not just English, but also mathematics as well, all throughout their learning journey, you know, from elementary right the way through into the workplace as well. And we do that, obviously, primarily in North America, but also all around the world, in Europe and further afield into Australia and so on and so forth. So as you mentioned as well, I'm the chief technology officer here. So it's my responsibility to make sure that those products get into our users' hands, make sure that they're good quality, and of course that they're easy to use as well.
But what's interesting about, are you a, maybe you are, but I don't think you are. Are you a trained educator? Or you would train technology?
I'm a technology dude. I am a tech dude. So just a little bit of background for me. I myself am not an educator. I am married to a teacher. My father was a special educational needs teacher. My sister is currently a special educational needs teacher as well. But unfortunately, I just didn't get the teacher genes.
That unfortunate.
You need to have the genetics for it to be a teacher, and I didn't have that. So I did have technology skills. So for me, Text Help is just that ideal place for me to be able to express myself with technology, but still be able to help kids the same way as my family does. So it's a perfect come together of the two situations for me.
It really is, and I might have asked the question wrongly, but I got a big smile on my face the way you answered. First of all, thanks to your sister, your dad, for being special ed teachers. They're going to heaven. You may be going with them as well, okay? Because that takes a special breed of person. I got to tell you, the reason I asked the question was because Text Help, which helps people who have these challenges. All right, but you're the tech guy, and I'm curious how you learned how to put the tech together with the educational and learning needs to make it all work. It sounds easy, I'm the tech guy, but it's not easy. Okay, you have to understand education and the needs of the students, and you do, obviously, because your products are so darn good, okay, to make it all work. So I'm trying to put the two together. What was that like for you as a tech guy, and suddenly you're creating education products that will help kids learn?
Yeah.
It's an interesting mix there. And I really never asked that question
definitely.
To anybody before, but it's really important because we depend on you to create the technology to make learning easy. It's interesting. You're on. Go, buddy. Go ahead, Ryan.
That's a really good question. And, luckily for me, I've been at Text Help 9 years now, but Text Help has been around for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's how long we've been doing this for, So actually, whenever I came into Text Help, the great thing for me is I had a little bit of background, obviously, with my family being teachers.
Exactly.
But at that stage, we already had millions of people using the software, millions of teachers, educators, and students as well. So the great thing for me as the CTO is that we are in discussions with teachers on a daily basis. We listen to teachers everywhere, whether it's people phoning in through our tech support, whether it's focus groups, and we're always asking teachers for their feedback on features, on the products. You need to really listen to the teachers and to the students as well to be able to build products like we do at Text Help. Because the technology, honestly, Larry, the technology is a small part of it. It's really about the teaching part. That's the important part. And the technology is just there at the end to help teachers do what they need to do on a daily basis. So every quarter, we get lots of feedback every day. Obviously, if you have millions of users, you've got millions of pieces of feedback.
Yeah, you do.
So actually, every 3 months, we sit down and look at all that feedback systematically and go, okay, what do we need to do to help kids this quarter? Okay, we need to have this feature. Let's put that into the product. Let's schedule it. And we've been doing that for 20 years now. So we're just constantly listening to teachers and then constantly building that into the products and making them better.
And go back just as far back as you want to in time. And as you talk to teachers, what was the last thing they told you they needed? Or the last whatever thing they, not necessarily the last thing, but just recently, as you talk to teachers, you get the feedback. I'll ask it this way. What did they say was missing, what was needed, however you want to answer that? I'm just curious. It's so interesting.
I think one of the biggest things the teachers always ask for is feedback to their students and how you get it to the students and how the students get it back to the teachers. And, even more so in the past few years where you can no longer ask a class a question and get an immediate response because some of your students are at home. Some of your students are off. Maybe they've been sick for a couple of days and have to come back in. That feedback loop in the past couple of years has really been a very difficult thing for teachers to get.
That's right.
People, students who are going home, they maybe don't have access to, devices at home. Maybe they don't have access to good internet at home. All these things have really created a barrier for teachers in the past couple of years for that feedback loop. So that's absolutely something that we've been looking at Text Help over a couple of years. Real-time feedback, or at least at least fast feedback for students is absolutely key for them to be able to understand what they're doing, understand what they're doing wrong, and improve themselves as well.
And you know, Ryan, it's interesting. Your dad and your sister and any teacher can say, you know, a lot of teaching is, if I always say, it's anecdotal. You look at a kid's face, and you don't have data per se, but you look at a kid or see their body movement, and you know something might be needed. Okay, you know, you just, teachers are good at that. It's instinctual. Okay, or become, I don't know if this is possible, becomes instinctual. Okay, I don't know whether that actually can happen, but you know what I mean. Becomes second nature, maybe is the best way to put it. But with COVID and with tech, okay, it does remove a little bit of that. And that's why we need products like yours, and you can talk about this, to give that, to make sure that the feedback loop is complete. Okay, that they're getting all the information they need, which includes what I'll call anecdotal. You just look at it, you know something needs to be done. It's that simple. And when you guys go into this, and I thought this was interesting. I was up on the TextHelp website today. And, you know, we wanted to focus this show on the special needs, if need be, dyslexia in particular. We're going to do that. But as I looked at the website, that's not really that's one just one part of it. Really, if I may, and correct me if I'm wrong here, most of the textile products can be used across the board. They help every kid. They might help a slow reader, okay, which may be dyslexia or may just be a slow reader because of some other reason. And talk about that. When you do a product, do you see it as a special education product, or do you see it as a product for all children? Okay, that can also be used to enhance special education. How do you look at it?
Yeah, what you just said, the tail there at the end, Larry, is exactly how we look at it as well. All children need help in different ways. It is as simple as that. And yes, there might be some children out there who have a specific symptom, which means they need more help than others. But almost everybody, and not just children, you know, people like myself in the workplace as well, I need help to do certain things during the day as well. And I really think that, you know, if you build tools in the right way, you can help all kids and definitely help the kids who need extra help on top of that as well. And, you know, I do think there's such a big benefit as well in giving the same tool to all kids, not giving a specific, say they have dyslexia, not giving that kid a dyslexia-specific tool, because, you know, that sets them apart from the rest of their peers. And they're not different. They're exactly the same. And having the same tool, you know, removes the stigma, I think, around it too. So that in that way, you really need to give a tool or multiple tools that give benefits to the whole class or the whole school and not just that one specific subset of kids who need extra support.
Yeah, we don't want to separate kids out. That was a very good point. I got to tell you, you don't want those kids to have a tool that nobody else has, because obviously it does set them apart, and that creates a challenge right there. Okay, and that's just one of the challenges all kids face, and so we got to make sure that we do that. I think that was an excellent, excellent point. All right. I also want to ask you, I was on the website today, and I found this interesting, and I think this is really important. By the way, we can focus on, we will, your Read and Write product. It's called Read and Write. It's at TextHelp.com, literary support tool, okay? That helps helps a lot of kids in a lot of ways. We'll talk about that. But one of the things I found interesting, and Ryan, just talk about this, all right, is assessment. Okay, we have to be fair in assessment. We have to measure kids as to what they know. And I'll give you my own personal example. I always did lousy. Okay, I did very well in school on testing, but lousy on tests like the SAT. I just don't take that type of time test with those multiple choice questions well. All right, yeah. And you know, in my opinion, my SAT scores were an unfair assessment. I'm getting A's and B's in courses and getting lousy scores on SATs. It's the same thing I'm talking about here. Okay, when you're dealing with kids, and I'm talking about kids, not just dyslexic kids, but kids who may live in a community that doesn't have all the resources that another community has. Okay, you want to measure them fairly. They may have language difficulties, whatever the case may be. Talk about assessments and textile products. And I found this interesting, and there's something, you can explain this to me. I don't even know what the word is. It's on your website, Respondus, like Respond US. Okay, so just talk about this. What am I learning here about assessment and textile?
Yeah, sure. So assessment is one of those things as well. Traditionally, you've used the word fair. Assessment,
yeah.
Traditionally, we look at fair as being, you know, everyone takes the same test and nobody gets any help. I would say, you know, a number of years ago, that would have been the case. And as you've experienced yourself as well, you're taking away support that kids maybe had in class, and now all of a sudden in an assessment environment, they don't have those supports. So it's actually unfair on them, because then they're in an environment which was different than their learning environment, and so then they struggle. And also, you know, if they struggle in an assessment environment where there's already pressure there, time pressure, you know, external pressures on the students, that is almost always going to, you know, end up in a score that doesn't represent that student's ability.
That's right.
So for us at TechHub, we like to provide solutions for the assessment environment as well. I mean, we work with a number of different providers, you know, Respondus being one, many different providers, particularly in North America as well, where we want to provide the read and write software as part of any assessment that your kids are taking at the end of the year. Because if one of our students is using read and write throughout the year, they're using our prediction or our text-to-speech functionality, and they're doing really well, they're really learning, you know, they can, you know, they can read at speed, they can, you know, write more fluently, that's great. And then all of a sudden they go into an exam situation and they don't have those supports there, then they're not working in the same way as they were doing before. So we always strive to make sure that we're working with assessment providers to make sure they have got the same tools in class and the same tools in their assessment as well. And I mean, really, that's being fair. That's about having a fair representation about that student's ability and how well they can do in an assessment environment.
It sure is, and you just answered the question for me. Respondus, I just looked it up as you said it. I don't want to say this. It's outside of your company. It's just another tool out there. Is it an app or
something?
That's
right. Yeah.
Thank you. I did not realize that.
Yeah. I mean that's one of the key things to our software as well. That we don't want to tell students and teachers you can only use TechHub software, but that you can, if you want the support, you have to use our software. We like to have read and write work wherever you are most comfortable working. And if it's in a third-party app, if it's in Microsoft Word or Google Docs or Google Classroom, read and write will be there to work. Because especially in the past couple of years, students and teachers have been overloaded with different tools and different ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And sometimes that in itself can be a real blocker for students' progress. So read and write just works where the student's working.
You know, it's interesting. Just as you were saying, I was poking around your website here, and I saw you guys go to ISTE, okay, and they're a partner of yours, and ISTE is a great organization. But sure. I'm always thinking, you walk into the ISTE conference, and you're looking at 500-600 booths, okay? And it can be so overwhelming about all the tools that are out there. You know, it's exactly, okay, when you say it can be overwhelming. I want to ask you something. On the TechHelp website, I'm loving this today, okay? You're giving me some great insight here. We got schools. We got higher education. I see those two icons. But what you folks do, and I just want to say this, is it used in the workplace as well? That's what we're really training people. That's what we're training people to do, is to, you know, graduate and go on to a successful career, a successful job. Workplace. Talk to me about workplace. What are you hearing about workplace use of TechHub?
You're talking my language here, Larry. I think we're on the same wavelength. So.
I speak fluent Irish.
So the way that we look at workplace is the same as we look at education. And I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. We're talking about dyslexia, for example. If you have dyslexia and you're diagnosed as a dyslexic student, your dyslexia does not disappear. once you graduate. It does not disappear when we go to the workplace. It stays there. I mean, yeah, you might find techniques to work around it. You might be more productive with it as well by the time you get there. But, you know, very often what will happen on a lot of tools is that you get support up into a point and then that support leaves. It's the same as in the assessment situation. So what we try to do is we provide tools that will work right the way from kindergarten, elementary, right the way through and into the workplace as well. And we also try to provide a consistent experience too while that happens, because you get familiar with the tool, you like using it, and that experience should follow you into the workplace. Now, we do have two different versions of our read and write software, one which is geared towards education and one which is geared towards workplace. But there is just some very minor differences between it. One's slightly more productivity focused, and the other one's sort of, you know, lower years focused. But they both provide the same functionality, and they both provide the same supports. And that is something that we really believe is the right thing to do for students, because, as you say, that's why they're going to school. They want to get a job, they want to get a good job, and they want to do the same things everybody else is doing.
Exactly. For how many years did we not include folks who needed this kind of thing because they couldn't do the work, because we did not accommodate their needs? How many people, okay, have we lost? How much great intelligence, okay, have we lost over 200 years, okay, because of that, okay? And now all these things are there, and they're working on it from literally kindergarten on, all right? And there's no reason to take that away from people, and we should use, and this is something you'll laugh. I'm sure you went through this at school in Ireland, Ryan, okay, where you're supposed to take a test, okay, and the teacher says, okay, everybody clear your desks, okay, time to take a test. That's the classic phrase here in the state. Clear your desk, time to take a test.
Yeah.
And my thing is, that, could you imagine if you went to work and your boss said, Ryan, create a new product, clear your desk, okay? They're not going to do that. They want you to use every tool that you have, every book, every piece of knowledge, et cetera, to answer a question, all right? And
exactly.
The goal of education, which is exactly what we're talking about here, is to create and assess with all the tools you need. That's what measured the ability to use tools, which separates us from most of the animals, okay? A few birds and monkeys aside, okay, it allows us to, it allows us to be different. We got to use every tool. That's what you guys are doing. You're creating these incredible tools. What's your favorite, we're talking about read and write. Go on about that. What's your favorite thing that TextHelp does? Not generically, product-wise and what it does. Yours, Ryan, your CEO, what's your favorite thing?
Oh, my favorite thing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. It's like kind of asking, your favorite child or your favorite
which
dog.
One's your favorite? Okay, which one's your favorite child? No, I'm just kidding. Don't say okay.
Let me see. I do have a very special place for our math product, Equatio. I really love that. Yeah, I love that as a product, just because I think whenever we were thinking of Equatio, we really went into the math field in the same way as we have approached the literacy field over the past 20 years, because the problems that students are facing are the same there and the same, and the same in literacy. So for me personally, I think that was a really interesting project to go and tackle those problems, for an entirely different field, for mathematics, as well as we did for literacy. So that was very interesting for me. But I also, I have a big love for our prediction feature in Read and Write as well. I would say it's probably our most used feature.
Predictive writing.
Predictive text. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's probably our most used feature, and I do think it's probably one of the most valuable that we have.
And by the way, over on TextHelp's website, everybody, if you go to products, there's an icon. All the products will be listed. Equatio was there, like equation, think of it that way. And it does the same thing for text, like TextHelp, okay, that they do for text that it does for math. Okay, it's just astounding, and you really got to think it through. That must have been hard to develop. Was that hard to develop, Ryan?
It definitely was. It took a long time, and I think we started maybe in 2016, if my memory is right. and I think it was 2017, 20, maybe even 2018, actually, before it became, you know, what it is today, and the full suite of tools that integrate them into the different platforms that it is today. So it was, for me, as a CTO, I'm a tech guy, I'm a tech nerd, it was definitely the biggest, you know, challenge I think we've set ourselves at TechStop, and it's been so much fun. And, you know, it's funny you should mention SD. I was at SD a couple of years back, and we were just introducing Equatio at the time, and all the math teachers come up to me and said, I don't know. Math teachers are not going to like this. They like their pen and paper.
Yeah.
They don't like they don't like digital things. They don't like doing this. They don't like the other. And ever since we launched Equatio, the flood of teachers saying, we love Equatio. This is what we made with Equatio. And I think it's that really makes the project really stand out for me as well, because we give teachers this tool, and their imaginations just ran wild. They went, you know what would be really good? I could, you know, get the kids to have counting apples, and we have, you know, teachers all around the world making Halloween math problems, Christmas math problems, you name it. It just really gave them, they wanted a reason to use digital math. And I think Equatio will give it to them, and it's so good to see all the different ways that you know, teachers apply that then in the class.
Well, yeah, and what's interesting, I have to say this. Okay, I stunk at math. I was terrible at math. All right, and that's not the way my mind works. All right, and I still am terrible at math. All right, and I must have been I was a good student. I was just lousy at math, and I'm sorry, math teachers. I know what you're thinking, but I do have to say this. Okay, I know I must have been a frustrating student. Okay, for my math teachers, and if there had been a tool that made me and that helped me to understand and do math, okay, it would have been so much better for everybody. And I think what you experience with the math teachers, which makes sense, well, we have to teach it this way so they get it. Well, not every kid can get it that way, okay? And I think it's just great that you come up with something that actually helps math, okay? Do the same thing for text help. Now you have math help, which is Equatio. How come you didn't call it math help? What happened to that?
That's a good
question. I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
We handed that off to marketing, and that was their decision.
Equatio. Okay. So, right. Should have been math. I like math help. Now I've got to talk about that, but it is Equatio, everybody. It is Equatio, and it's just a great product. I've done some shows on it here. Again, making STEM, making math more accessible, engaging for every student. Okay. The text help tools for every student, but especially for those with the special challenges. Okay, it's unbelievable. This was great, Ryan. Thank you, my friend. This was great. Is it lunchtime? It's past lunchtime there. You already had lunch.
Yeah, past lunchtime here.
We're just starting our week here. You're already a little ahead of us as we head towards the weekend. Thank you, Ryan, for being here. I appreciate it. It's really great. Really great
talking
to you.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me on, Larry.
Are you kidding?
Really great talking to you.
Yeah, it was fun. I hope you had a good day, good time here. I know I did. And we'll talk again soon. So happy holidays, my friend. You take care.
You too. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Be good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ryan Graham, everybody. He's a great guy. CTO over at Text Help, texthelp.com. And I think you can hear in my voice how I feel about these products. And this company is just incredibly wonderful. They only make good products. They're also good people. Okay, they really care, okay, about what they're doing and making it work for everybody who needs it, I might add, including me. All right, so just great stuff. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.